Good morning to all the listeners of the broadcast. We're counting greatly on the good promises of the Lord, such as this one. Listen, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land, Isaiah 1:19. But more on this right after this poem. Thy will. God cannot buy with gold untouched by heat of furnace flame, for on each coin must be impressed his image and his name. Nor can he feed the crowd with bread that is not broken small and handed out to those who wait, who beckon, and who call. Nor can he give to them to drink of grapes just off the vine. They must be plucked, crushed, pressed, and changed to sparkling wine. Here, Lord, am I to do thy will. Oh, help me not repine when burning fires consume the dross and all the gold refine. Oh, break my life and hand it out, and help me not to shrink when thou wouldst crush and pour me out to give the people drink. Teach me, dear Lord, to love thee more, forgetting false to see. And when I'm broken, crushed, and lone, oh, may the world see thee. Now, back to our scripture about eating the good of the land. I think we would all like that, to eat the good of the land. But look at the requirement. The willing and obedient shall eat the good of the land. Willing for what? Willing for God to have his way in our lives. Think of those down through the ages of time who have surrendered to God's will and how he has used them. One does not have to be rich for God to work. God used a worm to destroy Jonah's place of comfort. He made the world from nothing and hung it upon space. But God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God had chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. 1 Corinthians 1:27-29. So you see, God is not limited to riches, nor the wisdom of man to do his work, but he is seeking those who are willing and obedient. Consider the 16th President of the United States, Abraham Lincoln. He was born in Kentucky in a log cabin. His mother died when he was 7 years of age. He learned life lessons the hard way, splitting rails, studying by the flicker of the open fireplace. After he was president and the problems of the nation weighed heavily upon him, the story is told of that which happened during the early hours of the Battle of Gettysburg. In the White House, Abraham Lincoln was pacing up and down, lonely and troubled, as the battle reports poured in and the fate of the United States hung in the balance. At that time, when everybody seemed panic-stricken, Lincoln went to his room and locked the door. One can picture him there, down on his knees, his great head in his hands, praying like a child. Later, Lincoln described that moment to a friend in this fashion. I told God that I had done all that I could and that now the result was in his hands, that if this country was to be saved, it was because he so willed it. The burden rolled off my shoulders. My intense anxiety was relieved, and in its place came a great trustfulness. It isn't necessary to say very much and comment on this story. It stands as a reminder that now, as in all times of crisis, there is an enduring source of strength and consolation, if only we have the will and the wisdom to turn toward God. But let me repeat, the willing and the obedient shall eat the good of the land. Let us look at the judgment coming upon those who refuse. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The scriptures teach us to fear God and keep his commandments. We're not to be afraid of man. The potter and the clay. 'Twas just a lump of potter's clay that lay upon the floor. Worthless, cried an ugly voice, but uttered nothing more. I first agreed the verdict just and gave it thought no more, till presently the potter stepped in through an open door. He placed the lump upon a wheel and shaped it by his skill. The clay was passive in his hand, submissive to his will. Ere long, that shapeless lump of clay he plied into a vase, a vessel unto honor soon to fill a sacred place. The furnace heat was next applied mid flames it was aglow, with dross consumed the potter's face upon the vase did show. He then removed it from the kiln, examined it with care, and found the vase without a flaw in answer to his prayer. Ah, beautiful, a work of art the potter had produced, a vessel purged and sanctified, meet for the master's use. Now, before God's children crossed into the Canaan land, he gave them some definite instructions. I began here in Deuteronomy 8:6. Therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. But friends, think what the end will be for those who are unwilling and are not obedient. Listen, 5 minutes after I die, loved ones will weep o'er my silent face, dear ones will clasp me in sad embrace, shadows and darkness will fill the place, 5 minutes after I die. Faces that sorrow I will not see, voices that murmur will not reach me, but where, oh where, will my soul be 5 minutes after I die? Quickly the years of my life have flown, gathering treasures I thought my own. There, I must reap the seeds I have sown 5 minutes after I die. Not to repair the good I lack, fixed to the goal of my chosen track, no room to repent, no turning back, 5 minutes after I die. Now I can stifle conviction stirred, now I can silence the voice oft heard, then the fulfillment of God's sure word, 5 minutes after I die. Mated forever with my chosen throng, long in eternity, oh so long, then woe is me if my soul be wrong, 5 minutes after I die. Oh, what a fool, hard the word but true, passing the Savior with death in view, doing a deed I can never undo, 5 minutes after I die. Thanks to the Lord Jesus for pardon free, he paid my debt on Calvary's tree. Heaven's gates will enfold even me, 5 minutes after I die. Oh, marvelous grace that has rescued me, oh, joyous moment when the Lord Jesus I see, oh, happy day when with him I'll be, 5 minutes after I die. God help you to choose. Your eternal state depends on your choice. You dare not wait. You must choose now. It would be too late, 5 minutes after you die. Of all those people that Moses led out of Egypt by the directions of the Lord, we're told that only two of those who were 20 years of age or older entered the promised land. The others did not, because of unbelief. And still today, the world is filled with unbelievers. They're unwilling and disobedient. Many do not believe in the atonement which Christ made for our sins. Listen, God's verities. Some tell me that I cannot know my sins have been forgiven, that Jesus' blood has cleansed my soul and made me fit for heaven. But I've been reading in God's Word. I found it there today. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, takes all my sin away. 1 John 1:7. Some tell me that I do not know my name is written there, that I may only hope 'tis found in God's book of life so fair. But I have been searching in His Word. I found it there today, that if I overcome the world, He'll not take my name away, Revelation 3:5. Some tell me that I may not know there is life beyond the grave, that no one has come back to tell, only He who came to save. But I've been looking in God's Word, and I know it cannot lie. He that liveth and believeth in Him, that one shall never die. John 11:26. So now with joy and gladness I'm walking by His side, and know my Savior's keeping power while I in Him abide. And since I still must tarry here, my song shall ever be of Jesus Christ, my Lord and King, who died for even me. Friends, there's one thing certain. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this a judgment. Hebrews 9:27. Let me ask you this solemn question. Are you saved? And are you ready for that time? Our Father, bless the message to the good of every listener in the way which they need most. And for that which is accomplished, we will give Thee the praise through Christ. Amen. Our heartfelt thanks to all who've helped us maintain the broadcast on the air. May the Lord richly reward everyone. If we may be of some spiritual help to you, be sure to let us know. Until we meet again, this is Willie Murphy saying God bless and keep you always, and a very cheerful goodbye.